Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope. I'm Reverend Maya, and I'm so excited to welcome you to our five-part series based on the work of Janet Geer in her book, Undivided Love, Navigating Landscapes of Living Faith. Her work has given our community insight into how different we are and how much we need each other. She reminds us that faith's first language is life. Let's dig in.
Beloved, you are beloved, not just when you're little and cute and don't have much to say, but you are beloved. I want you just to hold on to that for a moment, because sometimes those are words that feel like they resonate in the cells of who you are, but it's hard to kind of live into what they mean, because the saying from Scripture is, you are beloved, with whom I am well pleased. You might have a taste or a sense that you're loved, but think of how often we're hard on ourselves, how often we're trying to get them to do it right, that we're pleased with others when they are good or when they do what we want them to do. Yet this is a community of Christians. When we gather at this font, we can't help but think about this table. We can't help but be invited into the practices of what it means to be Christian. So I want you this morning to picture a very long banquet table. Instead of sitting in pews and looking at the front, I want you to think about the fact that you are all sitting at that table, where good food is served, where good conversation is had, that God has prepared a banquet table for us and you are invited. Maybe you love banquets and parties and the thought of that makes you really excited. And maybe you so like skipping that and wish you could be there at the end when it's all over because you like the quiet after the party. Maybe you just hate not knowing who you're going to be seated beside. If the party is long, who you're going to have to listen to for the whole time across the table. You are part of a great banquet. That when we say yes to being part of a community of faith, it connects us to Christians all around the world. So I want you to think about, in your mind, just placing yourself at that banquet table. Some people come to the banquet because they were baptized when they were little and they find their way there. Others come to the banquet and then later find their way to this font. But both of those actions are part of what it means for us to be Christian. When we sit at the table with others, we bring our life story, our connection to Scripture, our history, our traditions, our judgments, our opinions, our questions, and our curiosities. We recognize that we share some things in common with the others who sit there. And other times we look across the table and wonder if we're even in the same family. I am certain that has also happened to you at times around your own family table. Baptism and communion are visible signs of an invisible grace. We each have different experiences of this and what they each mean to us. They are all attempts to give words to the mystery and the experience of God, of what faith means to us. And yet, when we often come to the banquet table, they say you're not supposed to talk about sex, money, politics, religion. That people don't actually want to spend that much time talking about God. And in fact, you may come from a generation where we haven't really done much talking. It's too hard. It's too heady. It gets us into conflict. But when you arrive to the United Church of Canada, there are others outside of our tradition who have opinions about how we have or haven't talked about God. And I am grateful for my friend Janet Geer, who spent time researching and wondering how to articulate what it is we really know and mean when we talk about God within our church. You spent a lot of time in the West. We have taken all fall to just look at the first chapter of her book called Undivided Love. And the church where her husband is the minister, today they're starting the same sermon series. And that's the church where I learned to be a minister. And so we didn't even know or talk to each other, but in a couple of hours, they'll be preaching into the same experience over the next 5 weeks. And yet they will do it very differently. It may be an invitation to tune in and see how you might compare them. For we're all wrestling right now with how to be united in a world that is divided. How to be united and respectful of diversity. How to be together and not expect everyone to be just like us. And you are at other tables. Interfaith tables, ecumenical tables, work banquets, sport banquets, class reunions, family tables. But for the next 5 weeks together, we're going to explore what it means to be at the table as a family of faith. And it seems fitting as I came into work this morning that if you open up the front doors of our church and look across the street, what once was construction is now almost an open field. There are plans for our neighborhood, but the idea that we're under construction in our neighborhood for the next couple of years is helpful to remind you that we're all under construction. We won't be assuming what each other thinks or believes or knows. We've been formed and we are being informed in our lives of faith every time we gather at the table. I'm grateful for Janet because in the work she did, she helped name that she saw some commonalities in the people who gather at this table. In fact, they could often be at their own round tables and yet be at the same banquet. Today, we're going to explore the evangelicals, but in the coming weeks, we'll meet the ecclesials, the missionals, the ecumenicals, and the spirituals. And when you hear those words, you may have baggage or association to those terms. You may be the kind of person who hates being labeled. And so the gift is, we're going to learn together and see where you might fit or what other words you might bring to the banquet. How are the stories of the people of faith who are present in our community connected to your own? Today, we're meeting the evangelicals in our hymn choices and in the line of the creed that you proclaimed to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. The invitation is to know the saving love of Jesus. You may have recognized it in the hymns we've sung so far, but I've invited Jason out of James and Jason and I sharing different stories, and yet sometimes a song will resonate that will remind us of who we've been and who God is calling us to be. So I'm going to invite you to listen as Jason sings, and if you're familiar with this song of praise, you're more than welcome to join in.
This very evangelical song of praise, which I haven't sung in many years. And here it is.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. And As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Thanks for singing along with me.
It's funny, Adam said, oh, they might not even know the words, but you'll be able to know who might begin to resonate with this part of the banquet. If we brought all of the evangelicals to the table, we find that it is the most diversely populated table at the banquet. It is the widest table in our church generationally, racially, internationally, politically, and theologically. They become a community by virtue of their lived faith, not even in everything that they agree upon, but they share an intimacy of their life with Jesus and the centrality of the atonement that Jesus gave his life in order for us to be saved, to live. Their lived faith is faith sharing the good news of salvation of Jesus Christ. They are the messengers. They have good news to tell to the world. And you could take that diverse table, and around it, you'll find kind of three streams, even in our church within that. We have the legacy evangelicals who kind of have generations been part of this United Church of Canada. For you might not know that in 1925, at the Maple Leaf Gardens, when two-thirds of the Presbyterians and all of the Methodists and a few others joined together to make the United Church of Canada, there it was not known in 1925 as the Liberal Church or the Social Gospel Church or the Modernist Church. But they were an evangelical church rooted in the Protestant Reformation heritage. That's what we were known for because the invitation was to be the United Church of Canada and to bring Christ to Canada. And as that was happening and the hope was that others would join and there might be one United Church of Canada, we were also sending people around the world as missionaries to win the world for Christ. That is in your DNA if you have been in this church for 60 years or your parents have been part of it. The language and the life of the evangelical faith is part of who we are. And the other group that's at the table with us are those who have moved here from other places in the world, outside of the denomination, who have Methodist roots from all over the world and ended up in Canada as home. They are home with gospel praise, with prayer, with the rhythm of invitation and testimony, for their lives have been shaped by missionaries who brought the good news in that way to where they are from. And so their stories are at the table with us. And then the other group of evangelicals who are here are those who come by way of refuge, those who have had powerful life-transforming experience with Jesus, but have not been able to be welcomed in the places where they come from. The denominations that they left did not make room for women seeking equal opportunity to offer ministerial leadership. There was not safety for LGBTQI2S+ persons finding acceptance. This has been a place where people could come with their faith tradition and find refuge and a place to follow in the way of Jesus. The evangelical live faith is the faith of a messenger of glad tidings, the one who eagerly shares the gospel with others. The language is passionate and direct. It's unapologetic because it's personal. For some, it contains a bit of an impatience, a yearning for a Christ-centered revival for our churches. It's an eclectic table. It usually has many gifts that people are willing to share. If we asked people what they might share in common, they would say, I believe in the good news that Jesus' sacrificial death saves all who believe, offering them forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. They have the experience of being saved. It is real and it is raw. People who have been saved from pride, saved from substance abuse, saved from criminality, saved from abusive relationships, saved from alienation, saved from condemnation, saved from self-absorption, and saved from greed. They have known that Jesus' life and love saves. These people that call themselves evangelicals within our tradition, they share a common worldview that outside of the church, the secular world is devoid of Jesus, and that they're in need of meeting him and finding faith in him that will help them to live. The majority of the Christian world joins them in maintaining male language and imagery for God. They've been inspired by the writings of I.J. Packer, of N.T. Wright, of C.S. Lewis. They are connected nationally and internationally, and within the United Church of Canada, they're connected through the Crucifusion Network. They live their faith as eager messengers of God's saving love in Jesus to share the glad tidings in Christ. You'll hear people with this stream of faith talk about scriptures that are written on their hearts, that call them and remind them about what God has done. The words of John 3:16, many of the letters of Paul are memorized. For they look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. There is no taking the cross out of the story of Jesus. As we know when we hold little ones, we know that life will not be easy for them. We know that they will endure the hardships of life. And this part of the saving story reminds them that all things work together for good. Among the distinctive gifts of the evangelicals is their intimacy with Jesus through prayer and personal experience. They have a passionate conviction that Jesus' atoning sacrifice offers new life and freedom. They know about forgiveness. They're not keeping records of wrongs because they know about starting fully again. In fact, the original baptism was full immersion into the water to be given new clothes in Christ, to be given a new chance no matter what your story has been. They bring joy. And they are often musical, messengers of the promise of new life in Jesus. And there's a sincerity and hospitable invitation about them. They yearn for people to practice the way of Jesus together, to share Christ in word and in deed. And in a gathering of 600 United Church folk in BC, when people had done this work of finding out which of the streams feels most at home for me, they were each invited to bring a symbol to the table of who they are. And the evangelicals, well, they brought Jesus. They physically brought the baby Jesus, the man Jesus, the crucified Jesus. This was at once shocking and delightfully scandalous and foolish, one might say. On one hand, how could they be so bold as to think that only they had Jesus and every other table at the banquet was bereft of him? But on the other hand, how perfectly fitting that the evangelicals, unlike any other table, brought the message itself, the one who abides in our hearts, the one without whom they are lost, Jesus. In that moment, which we don't have on video or on tape, but we can imagine that it was simple, uncomplicated, even innocent, as they brought forth their generous gift that came into the room. The gospel is the central thing, the work of Jesus, God's Son, who frees us. Everything hangs on that and is a response to our own understanding of what being part of that kingdom means. Letting that kingdom be born in our hearts. And communities of faith who are clear about that stream for them, they talk about being a community of faith that has the message of God's love that others need. And that when they see that love, they will know God. The gifts of evangelicals are many. Given their lives to Christ, they are committed. They're serious about Christian living and building. They're part of communities of support and accountability. They pray. They know their scripture. They make a sense of belonging to others in Christ. They're committed to each other in a way because they know themselves to be siblings. They are generous. They're often tithing their income and choosing to live simply. They keep an eye on those in need, and they know how to welcome and to praise and to witness and to teach and to preach. They're the ones who would ask you to pray with them. They're seeking to know and love Jesus as they do, and they are not afraid to work ecumenically across church lines. And there are dangers and shadows about every stream. In fact, we learn as we grow in our own lives that if we don't pay attention to the shadow that's with us, that it can be our own undoing. The undoing of the messenger's invitation and their own intimacy with Jesus is that it can quickly become the inverse of welcome and belonging, because they can quickly fixate on who's in and who's out, who's welcome at the table by the words they say and the way they practice. It can even slide along the spectrum to the experience of judgment and condemnation. The shadow for the evangelicals is that when the depth and the experience of life in Christ is so strong and you want it for others that aren't ready for it or are experiencing Jesus in a different way, is that you can close off from others. That the message of being one in Christ becomes shut down because Christ becomes theirs and not everyone's. It's easy to mistake zeal for a virtue. Now here's the trick, because whether you're resonating as an evangelical or you're thinking about some evangelicals in your life, the shadow work is not actions on which others may pass judgment. The shadow work is a mirror being held up so you can pay attention to your own journey and to notice, where have I been that person of zeal? Where have I, in yearning to be the one of welcome, actually shut others out? It is for each of us to wrestle with our own shadow. In the body of Christ, it is a gift to counter what is ailing with us in another part of the body. The solution to the healing of the shadow for others is not found outside of the church. The solution is to look at the other streams and to see how the other part of the body of Christ can help heal the part that may be a little bit cut off. The healing for the evangelicals is that when they go out into the world and share the message of Christ, that they do that alongside the missionals who are working side by side in the neighborhood, who are encountering people with different needs, different faith traditions, different experiences. The more they are out in the world and serving, the more their intimate relationship with Jesus is shifted and changed because they see the Christ in the other, who may look much different than they do. So the invitation in the 5 weeks ahead is to meet part of yourself. Perhaps it's a part of yourself that you left a long time ago. Perhaps it's a new part. Or perhaps it will help you to understand someone who's only 3 rows back or 2 rows over, who you're going to drive home in the car with, who wishes each week we sang these hymns that Maya picked today. There is an invitation for us to give thanks for the ones who bring glad tidings of freedom in Christ, who know the whole story of his life, of his teachings, of his journey through Palm Sunday to the cross, of his salvation, giving of his own life to stand up for what was right in love. And the reminder in the placing of the tulips on the table this morning, the tulip is the only flower that grows when it's been cut, that the resurrection is connected to the whole story of the life, death, and hope of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.